It is indeed good to see each and every one this morning, and Linda and Clyde, our gain is La Prada's loss. I hate to see those kind of things come about, but one lose and another gain, our gain is great, and we're wonderful for it. I didn't have a reading this morning, because if I had, everybody would have been sitting there contemplating just where was I going to go with this. You know, this morning we're going to talk about, I said, three great gifts. Actually, there's a lot of great gifts. And the gifts we're going to talk about don't have to cost you any money. And they're so easy to give that we overlook them. We don't take care of them like we should. You know, in Matthew 18 and verse 21 and 2. Let me get my reading glasses on. Scripture all of us are familiar with. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. I want you to know that I've given excuses on this verse, just probably about as bad as anybody else. You didn't know my first sergeant, or you didn't know old brother so and so, or man, that kid in school, he's impossible. No way, I can't put up with him. I can't forgive him. It just on and on. The reasons against this verse. I've read the scripture several times in lessons, but I have never really sat down and tried to analyze just what this scripture means to me and my fellow Christians. And when we do, when we put that kind of an analysis on it, I'm afraid we all come up short. We all come up short, you know. I think probably one of the best ways for me to get started on this is tell you a little bit about how terrible I was as a child. I started out at age 18 months, slipping out of the house, going across the horse lot to meet my dad, and the horse met me with hoof and mouth. I've had hoof and mouth disease ever since. Never have been able to get it completely straightened out. And from that, the old sow had one too many pigs. So she kicked the runt out. Wouldn't let him feed. So mother brought the old sow, and I was 3 years old, three and a half, brought the pig to the house so she could nurture it, try to make it grow and earn a little money back in the Dust Bowl days. Well, Dad was varnishing his butchering table. He left for a few minutes, and Glenn varnished the pig. Dad cleaned me and the pig up with axle grease, and the pig became the largest of the litter. Got rid of the mange and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I got the largest of the litter, became the largest. So I guess the axle grease and the varnish done some good. But I went on from that just constantly coming up with things to do that I shouldn't do. And most of them I knew I shouldn't do them. I'm sure there's a few other fellows out there that can relate to that. But I mean, it was constant. Just nonstop. My brain was going all the time on what can I do to get in trouble for. And you know, when it really got bad, when Mother made the decision that this time it needed a stronger arm, she would issue cruel and unusual punishment. We'll see what your dad has to say about this when he gets in from work. This might have happened at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I had to stew on that all day. Now, we're talking about a little guy, 5'7". He claimed to be 5'8". 120 pounds. And at a very young age, I had seen him in the pasture grab the tail of a 5-foot snake, wrap it around twice, and pop its head off. Now, you can just imagine what he could do with the tip of his belt. Whew. Well, on a few occasions, Dad would say, now, Velma, we've talked this over, Lynn and I, and he won't do this again. He won't never do this again. You know what Mother's reply was? And I hope this is not the reply God gets when Jesus intercedes for me. I pray it's not. Mother knew me so well. No, Howard, he won't do that again. But by noon tomorrow, he will have found something just as bad or worse to do. Is that the report God gives back on us when Jesus intercedes for us? We really need to watch out. We really need to be careful. Because God knows us a whole lot better than my mother knew me. And she was a pretty good predictor. Because it happened over and over and over. You know, he asked 7 times. The reply was 7 times 70. I would say I reached with my parents at least 70 times. And if it was really given a real close analysis, it might have been closer to the 490 times that equaled. But you know what? Even through all that, they still loved me. They still loved me. And we've got that blessing from God. We just can't go through life without doing something we shouldn't do. And God still loves us. Jesus intercedes for us. And we get forgiven. You know, I always wondered about the 490 times. Goodness. Whew, that's a lot of times to continue to keep forgiving and forgiving. Who set the standard for us? If we went back into the Old Testament and we took men of great men of the Old Testament, like Abraham, Moses, Noah, they got forgiven several times. I think God enjoys forgiving. I think He looks forward to us asking Him to forgive us. 70 times 7. 490 times. But you know, of course, Jesus is the greatest gift ever given. That is the ultimate gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us so much that He wanted to forgive us more than 490 times. He wanted to forgive the world. And His effort was to send His Son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary. The greatest gift ever given and ever will be given. God gave it. He gave it to you and me. Jesus, that great gift, He came to earth and he gave that gift by the cruel cross of Calvary, by ascending back to heaven to be with the Father's side, intercede for us for our sins. And when we obeyed the gospel, he opened the door of heaven for us. When we obeyed the gospel, he opened the door of heaven for us, and he said, come on in. Come on in. Can you think of anything more wonderful? More wonderful than the opportunity he has given us to come on in and abide with him forever and ever, throughout all eternity. The greatest gift ever given. That's the number one that we have to recognize, and we have to live by that great gift given unto us. Now, we have been forgiven. But something I learned very young in my Christianity, my working for Jesus, it seems like I started out with this idea that if I still remembered it, I hadn't really forgiven. And a lot of us come up with that opinion. You know, it's still back here, so I failed to forgive myself, you know. I just didn't do it right. But Jesus forgave us. And if we sinned against somebody else, they probably forgave us. How wonderful that is. And you know, we're going to remember those bad things. You know, I could go on and on and on telling terrible things I did at home till I was about 16, 17 years old. I could write a book on them. And a lot of people would sit and laugh. I know some of my grandkids have laughed at some of the stories I told about things I did that I shouldn't have. But now, if you want to see this in action, this type of forgiveness of yourself, all you have to do is study the Apostle Paul. Go into an in-depth study of the Apostle Paul. I have no doubt that after he met Jesus on the road and he went on in and was baptized 3 days later, he forgave himself for the terrible things he did to Christians. But he remembered them. He forgave himself, but he remembered them. And he used them sometimes. He used some of those terrible memories to help others find the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And after we forgive ourselves, now I know there's some people in here, because I know I did it for a long time. They've put it back here in the bank. Brother Chris refers to them little boxes we've got that we store stuff in. But we put it back there and we don't forgive ourselves. And if we do, it hurts us and hurts us until we do. Until we manage to do the act of forgiving ourselves. And that's free. Forgiving yourself is free. Whatever it is we've done, it's free. And if applied properly afterwards, those memories can help us lead others to Jesus. Can help us. We have things to share with people that they can relate to and make them understand that they need the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because I've been there. I've done that. But I've been forgiven. And I forgave myself. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. Forgiving oneself. Then the next gift that we want to talk about, a lot of people relate this gift to, hey, I got to get my billfold out if I give this gift. Forgive someone that you haven't forgiven. Maybe it was 2 years ago. I know I ended up one time having to actually write a letter because the individual wouldn't come to the door, wouldn't answer the phone, and I had to write a letter of forgiveness. And it got through. The letter got through. But don't quit trying. Work at it. And we relate to a lot of times, well, hey, if I forgive this, that means I'm going to have to bail him out one more time. No, that's not what it means. Don't be an enabler. Don't continue and continue and continue to bail somebody out and become an enabler, not letting them take the responsibility for their sin. Forgiving someone does not necessarily mean pulling the billfold out. Don't get hung up on that type of forgiveness. There has to be an end to it. You can still forgive, but you don't have to get the billfold out. And that is a very important forgiveness that we have to do. Forgive everyone that we've ever had problems with. You know, the 490 times, I know a lot of times we talk about somebody that we need to forgive, and most of the time forgiveness is meant, you know, I had to spend some money, had to bail them out again. But God, that 490 times means don't give up. I know sometimes we feel like, hey, I've just about reached that 491st time. It's time for me to quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. That's what the 490 times means. Just a big, elaborate number that's hard to live with. Now it's time to give the greatest gift you can give, I can give, that anybody can give. Go give Jesus to someone. Go give Jesus to someone. Go tell somebody about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tell them what He's done for you. Tell them about all the forgiveness He's done for you. Go give someone the Lord Jesus. Matthew 8, 28 and 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All things that He had commanded them are right there. We have them. We have them recorded so we can do the same thing He set them out to do. Now, I have praised all the electronic equipment we've got here. Praise the money we spent on it, because people all over the world can hear our sermons, can listen to this sermon. Thank God. It's wonderful. But do you know what works best? What still works best? Look at Acts 8, verse 26. See what works best? has always worked best and will continue, even with all the electronics and everything that we do. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." "Go, Philip, run to him." And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The most productive way is still one-on-one. It's great that we've got all these other methods out there. People are hearing us, listening to us, but still the best way to convert somebody is one-on-one. You've got to go to them, just like Philip went to the eunuch. Now, Philip had the advantage that the eunuch was reading the scripture and wondering. And we don't always have that advantage to us. But if we work at it right, we can get that advantage. We can get them interested. We can get them to talk to us about Jesus and Him crucified. And hopefully, we can end up getting them in the watery grave of baptism. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And again, it's one-on-one. We've got to get out there and do it. One-on-one. Our neighbor, our work partner, just, I don't know, maybe we should be out here on the street corner preaching. You know, that worked for several years, for a long time. We don't see anybody out there preaching anymore, do we? On the street corners. You know, it might be something if this congregation tried that. We may have to have a little discussion about that and see if we can't pick out a few to go out there and stand on the street corner and read the gospel. Might end up in jail, I don't know. That's the way things are going nowadays. But it would be worth a try. Try anything to get people to listen about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Get them to know that He can open the door of heaven to them. That is absolutely the most wonderful gift we can give, and it won't cost us a dime. It's free. It's free for us to give, and it's free for them to receive. We need to get in that mindset. We need to get to work one-on-one with somebody to bring them to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't know the hearts and minds of those that are present. There may be someone here that has heard this lesson and wants this great and wonderful gift that we're offering this morning. If you want this wonderful gift, I'll assure you the baptistry water is cold, and we'll have some young man here that'll be happy to baptize you. Or if you just need the prayers of the church, won't you come forward as you stand and sing? There's a bow.